Blog Talk Radio.
All right, we want to thank everyone. Stand by, please. Please stand by. Okay, we are now streaming live. And we are also streaming live on our Facebook. God bless all of our Facebook listeners. I want to thank all of you who are listening to me at www.livedeliverance.com and Blog Talk, air code 646-378-1857. As of today, last week, we're no longer airing any of Apostle John Eckhart's materials. We thank the Lord for them for the 18 years that we've had that permission and agreement. They're not interested at this time. That's their choice. We wish them farewell. And I will also be in waiting for Frederick Casey Price Ministries also. I have been knowing the Frederick Casey Price Sr. and most of the staff members with him are no longer there, so I sent an email. I have to send it back to them to respond. But we also have Evangelist Janice Taylor. We are going to continue with Derek Prince, myself, Frank Hammond, and Win Worley. Most a lot of teaching from myself. It was a wonderful journey. I enjoyed it a lot. We learned from him, and we bless him. He's a man of God, and we wish John Eckhart, independent minister, a blessing, and God bless the man of God. Amen. All right. We're going to be talking about corruption in the church. There are a lot of people who have been hurt. I've been in the ministry 40 years combined. I have been to churches. I was a member of a church that I have had a wonderful pastor who never showed any type of corruption. He talked the word of God. But the Lord is putting in my heart to say some things about church corruption and your salvation. Why did you come to Christ? What was your purpose of coming to the Lord? Because if some of you came to the Lord based on money and the concept of this prosperity ministry, you came on the wrong terms, and you really aren't saved. A lot of us don't realize when we come to the Lord, we're not supposed to be running after money. No Christian. I don't care who you are. And in the church today, it's very popular. Everybody, money, money, money. It's sickening to see the church selling out in a hole. Prosperity is not a ministry. I pray tonight that you will learn something, and I pray that this sermon will make you be aware that you need to study the Bible for yourself and not trust no man, not one on earth. Please turn to Psalms 118. And in Psalms 118, verse 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. M-A-N. It did not say whether the man was anointed, whether the man was not anointed, whether the man was saved, whether the man was not saved. The Bible tells us it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And a lot of people put confidence in their pastors, which is nothing wrong with that. But I'm seeing throughout the history and the phone calls and my former life and just going through dealing with certain churches, encountering, seeing the control that some pastors have on people. The word of God should have control more than the person. Why are we Christians? Heavenly Father, Lord, we come in the name of Jesus. How God has anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good and healing all the oppressed of the devil. Come, Holy Spirit, use me as your oracle. Allow the power of God to penetrate through my mouth. We take authority over every demonic force and any principality that will try to block to hear from hearing the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Half of our life, we're chasing money. We've been taught by pastors and teachers of faith ministries that we can chase money. We put our trust in people. Also, the Lord says in Psalms 118, verse 9, it's best to put your trust in the Lord to put confidence in princes or a woman. We got to trust the word of God. What is it that why did we become a Christian? I've had people call me, told me that they was mad at God because they didn't get a Mercedes-Benz, and this person was in a faith ministry. I won't say no name of no pastor. I say the faith minister pastor. Doesn't matter. If iniquity is in someone's heart, only God knows that. And this is why you have to pray for people. Jesus didn't have to chase money. Why are we trying to chase money? Did we get saved? Did you get saved because you think that God was going to give you $1 million and you heard that from some preacher? Then you and your salvation is totally out of order. It ain't real. Counterfeit. Jesus didn't have to worry about no money. Well, you may say, well, he was Jesus. Yeah, but he says, what I should do, you should do. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 24, it says, and when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, does not your master pay tribute? He said, yes. And when he was coming to the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, why thinkest thou, Simon, of whom thy kings of the earth take a custom of the travelers and their own children or the stranger? But Peter said to him, of strangers, Jesus said to him, there are the children free, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. Go thou to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish that fisheth that first came up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, that take it and give them for me and thee. Jesus didn't need no money. He said, here, go do that just because of their customs. Being a Christian is not supposed to be chasing money. There ain't nowhere in the Bible. And your salvation is wrong if it's rooted in that. Some of us are rooted in salvation based on tradition. That's corrupt because that's not what the Bible says. Traditions, God doesn't like man in traditions. Jesus speaks against that. Some of you are Baptists. You won't leave that. You just stuck with that. You're comfortable sitting in a church that ain't teaching you nothing, not learning anything about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, not learning how to lean on God, not teaching you anything about suffering. Oh, we're supposed to suffer as Christians. All we hear is $1 million money thing. Everybody wants money and call themselves Christians. But tonight you'll find that that's not what the Bible says. Search your heart by asking yourself these questions tonight. Number one, does my pursuit of money interferes with obeying God? Ask yourself that tonight. Does my pursuit of money interferes with obeying God? Number two, do I look for money from the Lord all the time? Is that all I'm saying to the Lord? Lord, give me, give me, give me. Give me, give me. Oh, I'm going to get a computer. I've seen people jump up and down. Somebody prophesying they're going to get computers. And they're going to get this. And they're going to get this in 9 months. 9 months came by, went back, and I asked. I said the date and time. Matter of fact, I videoed. They got mad, told me, give me the video. I said, this is my property. I can't give you the video. Here the preacher saying in 9 months y'all going to get these new computers. I came to see, did you get the new computers? Got bewitched. See, you can have miracles and anointed, still go to hell. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not done these mighty works? Away from the you workers iniquity. Somewhere in your heart is some sin you didn't deal with. God don't want us to lust after money. Number two, am I always wanting to hear a sermon about money? Money cometh. That's not in the Bible. That's false salvation. That's some false salvation. Most of us, when we come to the Lord, we were in dire need of getting help out of something we put ourselves in. Either it was financially, either by drugs, a death law, a car accident. Something had to wake up to call. We just didn't wake up and say, I decided I'm going to come to Christ. I got saved at Clark Atlanta University in the cafeteria. Because I was struggling trying to get to college. My mother and father didn't want me to go to school. They wanted me to go in the military. And I needed the Lord. And that's how I got to know the Lord. Please turn to your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. Why is it, and before you do that, let me deal with this tradition thing. If your salvation is based on tradition, how you was raised, what your mama told you, and not what the Bible says, or what your pastor doctrine says, and not what the Bible says, I got a problem with that. It's tradition. And that's a false pretense of salvation. Mark 7:6, he answered and said unto him, well have Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You can be anointed, and still your heart can be far away from God with particular sins, lust, money, greed, pride, self-haughtiness, me first. All that can block us from going to heaven, but that's not heard. You see, when a person commits fornication, they sin against their body. That's a personal sin. But gluttony, greed in the church, everybody hurt because you take people's money. I've never taken anybody's money. I have to raise money on my internet radio station, and I've been doing that. I've always done that. But I take my own and pay, and God will bless me. But I'm not traditional. I'm a Sabbath keeper. I don't worship on Sundays. I don't recognize Sunday. Jesus is Lord of Sabbath. I don't care who you are. I am a Sabbath keeper. There ain't no Sunday. The Roman Catholics did that. That's tradition. Well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, it is written, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, the teachings for doctrines, the commandments of men, and laying aside the commandments of God. See, we try to do what the church doctrine say. You know, some people get saved, and they get in the church, and they get cliques with the pastor, and you want to get on close to them, so you want to get in the position of leadership secretary, or you this and you that, and, you know, and everybody's fighting for positions. I've saw that in church, the spirit of division. I believe that when Christ is coming, he's not looking for a building of individuals. He's looking to individual hearts toward him, the true church. Have your heart right. Don't let anyone deceive you tonight. Don't have any understanding that you came to Jesus for money, because if you did, you are in the wrong department. I do not teach money cometh. And prosperity. We are prosperous with our health. The Bible tells us, I'll show you scriptures tonight, that we're not supposed to seek to become rich in the King James Version. And what rich people do when they get money, they get crazy, even saved ones. Because the Bible says all men have sinned. And when we get caught up in traditions and not the Word of God, it's going to really knock you off what true salvation is. I personally believe that once you confess that Jesus is Lord and confess with your mouth according to Romans 10:9, and study 2 Timothy 2:15, study the word unto God. Bless the pastor, respect him, but you don't know his heart. Pray for him. You don't know his, don't nobody know no man's heart but God. Just break it. Everybody dealing with something. You just look at you. Tell yourself, I don't want to be a part of making it hard on this person or that person. Love your brother. Forgive. Work with those who have authority over you. But don't idle them. I've always said this. I've been saying this for many, many of years. Those who have known me know that I stick strictly to the word of God. So why is it that we're searching for money all the time? Why Christians? Everything Christians run, money, 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 money. Jesus rejected a lot of that, and so should we. In the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 8, again the devil taketh him into an exceedingly high mountain and show him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Do you know that money ain't going to heaven with you? A piece of paper printed by gold, and most of the American dollars and on the dollar bills are these presidents, former slave owners. That's not going into heaven. I want to show you that the kingdoms of the world is what people seek after, money, stock, investment. We have been taught wrong. And I'll show you what the Bible says. I would like for you to go to Mark chapter 4, verse 8. Hang on, Mark 4, verse 8. Okay, Jesus used this parable to tell how the gospel will be received in the world. The world is not going to accept the gospel. And if Christians are doing the same thing that people in the world are doing, do you know you have churches called Christian meditation? That's not, you're supposed to meditate on the word, not on Eastern meditator, open up doors to demons. I had a church called me and didn't know anything about Ouija boards. A pastor. Ouija board night. My God, demons was manifesting like crazy up in there. Three truths may be learned. Conversion of fullness depends on how one responds to God's word. If you have been taught that God is a God that's going to give you money and finances and you don't know anything else about reconciliation, justification, sanctification, the anointment and atonement of the blood of Jesus, the love that God gives you, the grace, the dispensations of God, that's part of salvation. You're missing it. There'll be a mixed reaction to the gospel by the world. Some who hear will not understand. Others will believe unto salvation, but will fall away. Still others will leave unto salvation, preserve and bear fruit in various degrees. The enemies of God's word are Satan and worldly concerns. Riches and pleasure, riches and pleasures of the world. Why is it that we chasing money all the time and we call ourselves Christians? Go to Luke chapter 4, verse 5. Luke chapter 4, verse 5. Luke chapter 4, verse 5. The devil taking him up into a high mountain, showing him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Satan tempts Jesus with the offer of dominion over all the kingdoms of the world, a purpose that Jesus rejects. The kingdom of Jesus in this age is not a kingdom of the world. John 18:36-37. He refused to seek a kingdom for himself by the worldly methods of compromise, earthly power, political maneuvering, extreme violence, popularity, glory. Jesus' kingdom is a spiritual kingdom ruling in the hearts of his people who have been taken out of the kingdom of the world as loyal subjects to the heavenly kingdom. We are to be characterized by meekness, humility, and willingness to suffer for righteousness' sake, Matthew 5:5 and 5:10. To give our bodies as living and a holy sacrifice in complete devotion to love, worship, and obedience to God. To rely upon spiritual weapons in our war against sin, Satan, temptations, and riches. To presently resist conforming to the patterns of the sinful world and clinging to Christ as Lord and Savior. That's true salvation. Now, some of you may say, well, he didn't kind of like went overboard here talking about the riches. I want to be rich. Well, I'm going to show you some scriptures, what the Bible says about money and what it do to people. I don't care who you are. This is what the Bible said do to people. Remember, the Bible said don't put no confidence in no man. It didn't say whether the man was saved or not. That's what the Bible says. Well, I want you to turn to Proverbs 23:4. And it says, labor not to become rich. Labor not to be rich. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thy own wisdom. See, when you get money, you go on your own wisdom. That's why God don't want it, because he wants you to depend on him. Now, the money preachers don't tell everybody that it ain't for them. It is for the covenant of God. Turn to Deuteronomy 8:18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, not the pastor. It's God give the pastor power. God gives us power to get wealth. But watch now. It really ain't for us. It's for his covenant, not for your comfort. We are supposed to be waiting for a heavenly riches, where in heaven the streets are paved with gold and pearly gates, that's in the Bible, of heaven. And the gloriness of heaven is our eternal glory of richness. That's what we're supposed to be. We're just supposed to be passing through here. The Bible says we're like a vapor here. And we work so hard and chase money. God don't tell us to chase money, because it's for his covenant. It's not for you. Deuteronomy 8:18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, watch this, that he may establish his covenant. He ain't talking about for you, his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. The Lord tells us to seek not to become rich. Here's why. Turn to the book of Luke 6:20. Luke 6:20. Wait a minute. Luke, that's right, Luke 6:20. And he lifted his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Poor and not understanding the word of God, being enriched by the Holy Spirit will bring health to thy bones. God wants your soul to become prosperous. 3 John, above all, I wish your soul prosper. 3 John 1, 2. He ain't saying about your house prosper. Paul had a hired house. He rented houses. Jesus didn't come in Jerusalem in a Mercedes-Benz. He came on a donkey. But see, this is how we've been trained and taught and how we see pastors live their lives lavishly off your tithes. People volunteer. They don't even pay them nothing. The labor's not worthy of his hire. God shows no respect to person. Before I started internet radio, this thing was growing into a church. And God told me, I didn't call you to teach a church. I called you doing that radio. And during the time we had the members that was really full at my house, I had a tithe base set up for those who tithe. They stayed 6 months or longer. And they've been tithing 6 months longer. They've been with this church for 8, 9, 10 months. They got a financial problem. They can borrow up to $3,000 and not have to pay it back. That's what I did. Pastors don't do that. Do you see anybody doing that? When they laid the money at the apostles' feet, the Bible said Paul distributed. God shows no respect to persons, Romans 2:11. God ain't going to love one person no different than another. See, and people can get caught up into this and lose the desire of serving God and bringing his word out. Let nothing stop you from serving God. Serve him in the right way, not in the wrong way. Please turn to Mark chapter 10, verse 23. Mark chapter 10, verse 23, and Jesus looked around about and said to his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches, whether you save, you have riches, whether you unsave, you have riches. It didn't distinguish. It put them in as both. They that have riches enter into the kingdom of God. And Jesus looked around about and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Because riches get you comfortable, get you selfish. God doesn't want us to be selfish to people. Please turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, unto the doctrines which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doubting about questions and strives of words, wherefore cometh envy, strife, railing, evil surmising, perverse disputers of men of corrupt minds, destitute of truth. Watch this, supporting that gain is godliness. That's what they're teaching now. Thou money cometh, Bible says, supporting that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Stay away from people teach that stuff. Thou money cometh. That is not in the Bible. The Lord says he'll meet your needs according to his riches and glory in Philippians 4:19. Timothy speaks of the love of money in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. It didn't say being $1 million is great gain. Because you'll fall into snares when you're rich. God don't want you falling into snares, but Christians don't care about it. They connect that to apostleship with Christ. God don't want nobody poor. 12 cars for one pastor with 3 kids, 12 cars, 4 helicopters. That's excessiveness. 16 planes. Can't fly one. You ain't raising the dead. God, I mean, it's just crazy out here. 1 Timothy 6, 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. I want to show you something in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 11. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked these things, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor have asked the life of thy enemy, but have asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. God bless that man. He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask God for riches. Hey, y'all, Lord, give me a Mercedes. I need a Mercedes. You don't need no Mercedes Benz. You don't need that. Wait, just get you a car to get you A and B and save the church folks money. No, people ain't going to do that. Man, there's a lot of spirits of greed out here, man. It's cutthroat. I don't want no part of it. I don't want no part of it. And I suggest people just stay and read the word of God, because God is going to make judgment. God allowed this pandemic to happen to really expose people's heart, show people where they are, especially in positions of authority. God would judge all of us, including me. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither have asked riches for thyself, nor have asked the life of thy enemies, but have asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Lord, have mercy. Verse 13, and I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor. God can give riches. God can give it, not you getting it. God give it to you. God can give, because he says seek not to become rich, but here he gives riches. So I'm not for a person that's not can be wealthy. I didn't say that. The devil can use that with anyone who gets wealth, because the Bible particularly says the emotional part of people who are become wealthy. Look at Michael Jackson. Look at the most richest man on earth, Howard Hughes, how he died. Verse 9, 1 Timothy 6:9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation. It didn't say whether they was rich, saved or not saved. Don't matter. If they are rich, fall into temptations and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. Ain't no demon doing that. That's money doing that to a person. It did say, and they that have a demon. No, it didn't. It says, but they that will be rich, that's saved and unsaved, fall into temptations and a snare. Look at Whitney Houston, Bobby Brown, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. Look at Odom, Lamar Odom. He was in a drug and he got his life right. The brother was doing some wild stuff. Why? Rich. Harmful lusts which drown men. It didn't say whether they were unsaved or saved. But you got to understand, the Bible's for the saved. For this, for saved people. The saved people can be drowned into destruction and position. I don't care who they are when you love money. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and perceived themselves, though with many sorrows. See, ask yourself tonight, where did your salvation come from? Lord, did I get saved in some prosperity ministry thinking that everything you're supposed to give me is supposed to come from gold or some financial or credit card? It's amazing to see Christians' definitions of Christianity to me when I talk to them on the telephone. I don't hear I really came to the Lord because I just got tired of the world. I came to Christ. I got tired of being on drugs. I got tired of Chase selling cocaine. I got tired of sleeping with a gun in my hand and, you know, people you can't trust selling to this person, trying to, I just got tired of it. I didn't have cars, Mercedes, BMWs. I don't want none of that. I don't even have a car. Lord, get me a car. Hear me, my needs. I'm fine. As long as I can do my radio, I'm good. But I'm going to get a car. I have to search one and find one. I can get a car. But my desire is that we come to Christ with a right attitude, not to come to Christ based on some false doctrine that money cometh, because that's not in the Bible. And any pastor that tells you that they find it, I find it equal coexistence that we can still live with homosexuals, the Bible speaks against homosexuality. You got pastors compromising that. Pastors are accepting homosexuality as if God can forgive this sin. And God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of that sin. Do your pastor control you? Because he has the last word, or does God have the last word? I've met so many women who've called me, and they would tell me, well, the pastor say this, and the pastor say that, and the pastor say that, and I'm on the phone with the man. And I said, what's your husband say? And the husband say, she don't listen to me. She listened to her pastor. And when a woman does that, they blaspheme God's word when they're married. But the pastor don't tell you that. That's scriptural. Titus chapter 2, verse 5, to be discreet, chasers, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So if you're not obedient to your husband, you're blaspheming the word of God. But this money coming, they don't teach you that. You have to be careful and trust no one but the Lord Jesus. The Bible tells us, put no confidence in man. Every man who teaches the word gets it by the revelation of Jesus Christ, Galatians 1:12. I ask tonight, did you come to the Lord based on money? Is everything you believe in through Jesus Christ, is it based on what you have heard from prosperity pastors, traditional pastors, or have you really heard the word of God as you sat down? And let the Holy Spirit teach you. Get the Holy Ghost. Get the evidence of speaking in tongues. Ask the Lord to give you the gifts. Pray for your enemies. Pray for people who are in positions of authority. Pray for all the apostles and the pastors. Pray that God show them their sin in their heart. Every one of us have sin, man. Stop looking at people that they are all this. Look, all have came short of the glory of God. Respect the position. Respect the person, too. And honor and love people. Most of all, love God more than anything, more than the pastor, more than the church, more than the choir. Love his word, because his word speaks truth. And this word will never, ever go away. I pray that you have come to right salvation. If you feel that you have came to the wrong salvation, you want to come to the Lord right, not based on what you heard from some prosperity preacher. I do not believe in prosperity doctrine. There ain't no ministry called prosperity. The 5-9-4-5-4 gifts in 1 Corinthians 4:11 and 1 Corinthians 12:28 ain't nothing about no prosperity doctrine. We have to be careful in these last days. We have false apostles, false teachers. We have doctrines of devils that's moving very heavily, according to 1 Timothy 4:1. But I want to show you what God has shown me, what's happening now in the church. It's in the book of Jude. And I want to read Jude chapter 1, verse 16. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouths speaking great swelling words, having men's personal and admiration because of advantage, in a position to charm a person, to control a person, to use charismatic witchcraft on people. I met a person that really bothered me when they told me that they was at this church and pastor, open door, you got to stand up. Here come the pastor. You had to stay standing. He said, be seated. You know, and it became idol worship. So I don't want you doing that. There's a lot of people been hurt by pastors, but don't nobody teach that. People have been hurt. Their pastors hurted people don't even know that they're hurting people. This is why you have to pray for all people. Pray for Israel. Pray for Ukraine. Pray for your enemies. That's not easy, but that's what you have to do. Don't judge nobody. Trust in God. Don't trust in no man. Trust in his word. His word is true and every man a liar. Stand on his word. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and you shall be saved. Now, before I close, I want to show you something. Now, when we are saved, the church is contrary to what the Bible says that the church is. Is there corruption in the church? Yes, it is. Does pastors corrupt? Yes, they do. Anybody got to oversee the watching what to do? No, but God do. That's all what counts. God judges the righteous and the unrighteous. Lord, Lord, have we not cast devils in thy name, done all these mighty works? Away from me that worketh iniquity. God is looking for the individual church within us. The word church refers to assembly of people summoned together in the New Testament. Translated church is designated primarily the congregation of God's people in Christ who are called together as citizens of God, Ephesians 2:19, for the purpose of worshiping God. The word church can refer to a local church, Matthew 18:17, Acts 15:4, or the universal church, which is in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, which is also in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21 through 22. The church is presented as the people of God in 1 Corinthians 1:2, 1 Corinthians 10:32, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 through 10. The company of redeemed believers made possible by Christ's death, 1 Peter chapter 1, 18 through 19. It is a pilgrimage people no longer belonging to this earth, Hebrews 13, 12 through 14, whose first function is to stand as a community and a living of personal relationship with God, us as believers, as the church. 1 Peter chapter 2, 5. Hebrews 11:6. The church is a people called out of the world and into God's kingdom, separating from the world its inheritance to the church nature, and is rewarded by having the Lord as one God and Father. 2 Corinthians 6:16 and 17 gives us an understanding of spiritual separation from the world. The church is the temple of God and of the Holy Spirit. See 1 Corinthians 3:16. See 2 Corinthians chapter 6:14 through 17, and 2 Corinthians 7:1. Also see Ephesians 2:11 through 22, and 1 Peter chapter 2, 4 through 10. The truth about the church demands separated from the unorganization and from worldly immorality, and it's in the church. People chasing money. God doesn't want that. Jesus got angry in the money changers in Matthew 21 and clean house because they were selling and buying. If the Lord loved the money that much, he would have let them sold it and buy in the house of God. You got people in all positions of the church in authority who's just running after money. You got ordinary Christians. One guy told me he was tithing at this church, and he said, I'm mad at God. I didn't get my Bentley because the pastor told me to tithe $2,000 a month for a year, and I'll get a Bentley. A fool. A number of a fool to believe something like that. The church is the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 6:15 through 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 16 through 17, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 12 through 27. The image indicated that no true church exists apart from virtual union of the members with Christ, which is the head of the body, is Christ. Ephesians 1:22, Ephesians 4:15, Ephesians 5:23, Colossians 1:18. The church is the bride of Christ, 2 Corinthians 11:2, Ephesians 5:22 through 27, Revelation chapter 19, 7 through 9. This marriage image emphasized the devotion and faithfulness of the church to Christ as well as Christ's love and intimacy with his church. The church is a spiritual fellowship with God and with one. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 14, Philippians chapter 2, 1, 1 John chapter 1, 3. This involved the indwelling of the Spirit, Luke 11:13, being baptized of the Holy Ghost, the unity of the Spirit to receive power, Acts 1:8, and Jesus received power of the Holy Spirit, and the baptism in the Spirit. The fellowship of demonstration observed love and care for one another, not to hurt people. And pastors hurt people. We all are human. That's why we have to pray for people. Pray for people in authority. Pray for people who get rich, because they really fall into temptations. The church is a spiritual ministry. It serves through the use of the gifts bestowed by the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're in a church and you don't have any gifts, you ain't going to get nothing out of it. You need a prophetic word. You need word of knowledge. You need a church that's filled with the Spirit, not with doctrines of men. Romans 12:6, 1 Corinthians 1:7, 1 Corinthians 12:4-11, 1 Corinthians 12:28-31, Ephesians 4:11. The church is an army involved in spiritual conflicts. It's fight by the sword and power of the Spirit. But most Christians don't even know how to do even spiritual warfare, and it's part of the church. The church is a spiritual struggle against Satan and sin. The Spirit with which the church is filled is like a warrior wielding the living word of God, diverting people from Satan, dominion, and conquering every power of this dark world. We're not supposed to be like the world. We ain't supposed to be chasing money. I don't care what pastor, preacher, whoever you are. You're not supposed to be doing that. Acts 26:18, Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 18, Hebrews 4:12, Revelation chapter 1:16, Revelation chapter 2:16. The church is a pillar and a ground of the truth. 1 Timothy 3:5, supporting the truth as a foundation supports a building. It must be upon the truth and kept safe, depending against its distorters and false teachers. The church is a people with a future of hope. This hope centers in Christ's return for his purpose. That's the church. That's what you need to be part of. The individual person in your heart, make melanism to the Lord. The Bible says, well, there are two or more gathered together, therefore then I am in the midst. And he is in the midst of us tonight. And he wants you to depend on him tonight. He wants to free you from any demonic spirit that be troubling you tonight. He wants to heal you from being hurt. Some of you have been hurt by pastors. Some of you have been hurt by your mother, your father. Some of you won't forgive. You won't forgive in your heart. And if you don't forgive, God cannot do anything for you. God wants to heal you tonight. God wants to bring you into the right format of salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. God wants to deliver you now. You can call upon the name of the Lord Jesus right now. There is no name whereby man can be saved but the name of Jesus. Acts 4:12, Jesus of Nazareth. And I also ask all of you, go and worship on the Sabbath. Leave this Sunday alone. That ain't in no Bible. Jesus is Lord of Sabbath. I don't hear none of these pastors talk about Jesus, Lord of Sabbath. They'll preach on the Sabbath, but they won't say they won't go to church on the Sabbath. Jesus taught in the synagogue on the Sabbath. That has not changed. Don't let religion deceive you. Line up everything you can with the Word of God in your life. If Jesus says he's Lord of Sabbath, then worship him on the Sabbath. Rest on that day. Stay in the Word. Stop looking up to people to give you an answer. Stop looking for leaders because they may not be there. The Lord says, I neither received it by man, neither was I taught it, but by the what? Leading by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Lord can give you revelation. He's not going to give one man revelation, not give you. He'll give you revelation. God shows no respect to a person. Did you come to salvation right? If you came with the wrong content of being saved, just ask the Lord to forgive you and accept him. Say, Lord, come into my life. Forgive me for my sins. I accept that you are the Son of God. Lord, I will live for you. And when you give your life up, your life becomes hidden in Christ, not by the world. God doesn't want us chasing no money. I don't want to chase no money. I ain't never checked. You know, I did that when I was in the world. I was just as miserable. I was making $7,000, $8,000, $9,000 every Friday night. I made that every Friday night. That's right. Every Friday night, 1986, 87, 88, 89, 90, 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96. I didn't have the cars. That ain't going to give you no happiness. Gold ring. See, when people ain't got nothing, they ain't never had nothing. And the Lord bless them, they don't know how to act with money. That's why God don't want us, God getting all into it. Clickish. Stay out of these clickers in the church. Stay away from that, sir. If you see that stuff in the church, leave. You don't need to be clicking and bucking up to no man but Jesus Christ. Respect the pastor. But don't try to buck for no position. You don't know that man's heart. You don't know what's in his heart. You want to be what God wants you to be. Don't get involved in cliques. Don't judge your pastor. Don't do anything that will bring evil to another man. That's not God. That is not God. We are forgetting the most powerful commandment is to love, but yet we're chasing money. I don't want to chase money. The Bible tells me that God will meet my needs. When I get on this radio station, I've always asked for an offering. I will do if you like to sow a seed to Live Deliverance in that radio. We have made changes to our radio station also. We are no longer with John Eckhart Ministries. We want to bless them. God bless them. And thank you for the time that we had. They want to move on, and I want to move on, and we've learned from there, and we are going to continue to teach the Word of God here. We also have permission from Derek Prince Ministries. We also have permission from Frank Hammond and Win Worley. We will keep those on. We also have Evangelist Janice Taylor. She's on our podcast. You can also go to Fellowship of Faith, Pastor Wayne Thompson. We have a church there out of Georgia. I've been known the pastor for many years. And it was a wonderful time with John Eckhart Ministries for 18 years. God bless all of them, and I wish them the best. And I wish Apostle the best, a wonderful, powerful man of God with much revelation from God. And God bless them and his staff and those who are with him. Also, don't forget, we're going to be praying for Ukraine now. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come against the spirits against Ukraine. We come against the spirits of death. We ask that the power of the Holy Spirit and the word in the name of Jesus will move this evil from these Ukrainian people. We ask all together, Lord, that you free these people and end this war. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I also want to make an announcement for those who are listening to my podcast are illegal. I have a lot of people that is on my podcast illegal, and I'm trying to take them down. And I want to make this a message known for those who are taking my content. And I'm going to call out the names of people who are taking my content, and I'm trying to get a hold to them. Apple Podcasts, I have not given you my permission to take down, to stream any of my content. Podcast, Podbeam, I have not given you any attention nor permission to stream my content. Pod Paradise, I have not given you any permission to stream my content. Religious Podcast, I have not given you permission. Please take my content down. Listen Notes, I have not given you any permission to teach my teaching, and you're mixing them up and putting them on top. I've not given you those permission. iHeart Radio, iHeart Podcast, I have not given you permission. Sister Zelensky, I have not given you permission to put my content up. Owltale, I have not given you permission to post any of my content. Apple Podcasts. I have not given you any permission to post my content. Castro Podcasts. I have not given you any permission to promote my content on your podcast. The Position. I have not given you any permission. Podcast IVOOX. Please remove my content. Palco MP3, please remove my content. God bless all those who listen to me here, live deliverance in that radio. If you like to sow a seed, please go to www.livedeliverance.com and sow a seed to keep us on air. We thank you for the contributions and thank you for your support. We pray that you've been blessed by this teaching. May the Lord Jesus of Nazareth bless you and all. Shalom and good night. Okay, we're about to get ready to go into our Blog Talk room. We want to thank those who listen to us tonight here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio. And we're about to get ready to get off air. We're going to open a room to Chaplain John Durden before we go. All right, Chaplain Durden, you got the mic.
Hi, good evening, everybody. I want to say I enjoy the session tonight with respect to those who have greed for money, wealth, and fame. Nothing wrong with trying to benefit your family or anything else. But money shouldn't come before God. God said he would meet our needs, whatever it be. He wants us to worship him and serve him with all our heart, spirit, and soul. So let's not make money out of God. And like man said, money's coming my foot. We need to praise the Lord and go to him, and he will meet our needs. But we must be obedient. We can't be half-stepping, but he only honors those who really take his word seriously. God bless each and one of you. May you have a good and fine and healthy day tomorrow. God bless.
And God bless everybody. God bless and have a wonderful night.
Amen.